Jackson and Fungani, and our engineer, Zainab Abdullah Rahman. Thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
We can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off in Juba, where South Sudanese basketball star Luol Deng says his foundation is growing in Africa. The Luol Deng Foundation is a non-profit organization that uses basketball as a tool to give hope to boys and girls. The two-time NBA All-Star held an instructional camp this week at the Manute Bowl basketball court in South Sudan. Winnie Serino reports from Juba.
The NBA basketball star says he is in Juba to supervise the activities of Luol Deng Foundation. He says he constructed the Manute Bowl basketball court in Juba 4 years ago to pay tribute to the former NBA star, late Manute Bowl, so that his legacy is remembered by generations of South Sudanese. Deng says his foundation is coaching more upcoming basketball players in South Sudan.
We have a program now that's growing and is getting bigger. We are very proud of it. We know there's a lot of more work. The vision is to make it bigger. We are hoping, I don't know when, but we are hoping to hopefully create an academy. But it's something that we see the success that the kids are having from it. And it's something that is beautiful to share with everyone.
Deng says his foundation has built basketball courts in Awil State, Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya, and Wau. He says his foundation has been sending 10 South Sudanese doctors every year abroad for additional training in surgery. He says basketball can also help many South Sudanese develop a career.
We believe that this is a tool that we can use not just for basketball, but it's a way of getting scholarships and going to high schools and getting a better education. And it's also a tool to take kids off the streets, but also occupy them with teamwork, teach them, how to work together, how to communicate.
15-year-old Malong Malual is among the beneficiaries of the Luol Deng Foundation. Malual says the foundation brought him from Rumbek to Juba 2 years ago, and he has completed his senior secondary school.
Luol Deng Foundation is the one who brought me from the village when I was. I do play in village by then. So they went and they see how I play good, and when they brought me to the city and they sponsored me, and they weren't taking my recommendation.
16-year-old Jeldrud Ring, another basketball player, says the Luol Deng Foundation has helped him learn other skills.
It kind of made me a better person, like kind of improved my leadership skills. Like, sometimes I'm the captain, I'll be the captain of a team, and, gotta lead people. My communication skills have improved, talking to my teammates. I got to know a lot of people. Like, I have now, a wide range of friends right now.
18-year-old Fiona Richard says she learned to play basketball while in primary school. She says she was lucky to travel up to Texas in the U.S. for trainings and received international scholarships.
I played when I joined senior one. I studied senior one, then senior two, I got a bursary scholarship for also games. I went to the team to Kenya. I was there for 1 year. I got another bursary also in another school in Uganda. By then, it was 2017. I played in Uganda 2018. We went secondary school. They call it East Africa Games over. Yeah, so we went. It was in Rwanda 2018 in August. So we went there, we played, and we won the trophy for the school. So this year, I decided to come back to my country.
Deng says his foundation will increase the number of women in its programs and create a platform that connects and unifies all Tauti Denise in the diaspora. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Thanks, Winnie. And you can find out more about the Luol Deng Foundation at its website. The address is luoldeng.org. From South Sudan, let's go to neighboring Uganda, where the country's athletes are training for this month's All-Africa Games in Rabat, Morocco. Rabat 2019 will feature competition in 26 sports, and the Ugandans are hoping to contend for medals in athletics. Apart from medals, the Ugandan runners are also hoping the 12th African Games will help them qualify for major international events like next year's Olympics in Tokyo. Magumi Davis Rakawinj filed this report from Kampala, Uganda.
Lower the speed, lower.
Edwin Chinaria, Uganda athletics trainer, tells Halima Nakai, a middle distance runner, slow down as she starts run in a practice race at Mandela Stadium in Kampala, Uganda. He says aside from the stamina, runners in this category must control their pace so they don't exhaust all their energy before the final lap.
She was supposed to run 2:25 minutes, 2 and 25 seconds, but now she's running 18, so, and there was supposed to be 8, so she can't finish up with them. So just because she's feeling there's a pressure of this man behind, so she tends to increase, so she can't finish. That's why I'm telling her to lower.
Nakai will be participating at the Koneno Championship for the second time, having reached in the semifinals in the 1500 meters category in Brazzaville, Congo, 4 years ago. She says she'll use the competition to test her ability for the World Athletics Championship in Doha later this year.
It will be a good test for me. If I can make to podium to get a medal, I'll just... Dorcas in school, she won a medal. She protested. Stephen won several medals. There is Moses Chipsero. So I know I'm talented and I'm capable of also winning more medals for my country. Yeah, because I'm proud to be a Ugandan and I love my country.
Another athlete here is 400 meters runner Nabilia Nasiba. Nasiba says she will aim at getting the top prize in her category when she competes against Africa's very best.
When you go to those big leagues, you get some techniques. You have to add also on what you have. So even me, I can get a gold medal to be among the first.
And the runners are motivated by training with a person who knows a thing about competing at the Koneno Showpiece. The 2003 All-African Games 1500 meters bronze medalist, Ronald Musagala.
They have done training, it's already, that's enough. The only thing they have to do just to be smart in your race. When you are going for a race, just be smart. Run your race and you finish. Winning a medal is just, it comes just automatic. As long as you be focused, keep on pushing as I did in Nigeria. Yeah, I couldn't even believe that I can win a medal from there. But being focused and determined, I came with a medal, yeah.
Athletics trainer Edwin Chinaria says Uganda will definitely scoop medals at this year's competition.
To these young ones, it is a totally chance for them to show off their talent and win medals for Uganda as a country. We have got great names, likes of Akibua, Nzikuru. We had very many of those great ones. So we hopefully think that with this other new generation which has come up, we think that there is some hopes for Uganda to be great than ever before.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rwakarinjini, Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. The 12th African Games are scheduled from August 19th to August 31st in Rabat, Morocco. Egypt dominated the medals table at the 2015 Africa Games in Congo, Brazzaville. The Egyptians won 217 medals, including 85 gold. Nigeria was next with 144 medals, including 47 gold. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, my name is Sunday Adeleye, the Technical Director, Athletics Federation of Nigeria, and the athlete representative on the board of Athletics Federation of Nigeria. I want to say a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
In more athletics news, 2012 Olympic hurdles champion Sally Pearson of Australia has announced her retirement from elite track and field competition after failing to recover from a series of recent leg injuries. Sally Pearson won the Olympic gold medal in the 100-meter hurdles in 2012, 4 years after taking silver at the Beijing Games. Sally also won world titles in 2011 and 2017. Sally was hoping to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics next year. She had been preparing to defend her world title in Qatar next month when she had another injury setback. Meanwhile, with injuries and illnesses behind him, Canadian sprinter Andre DeGrasse is hoping to win medals at this year's World Championships in Qatar and the 2020 Olympics in Japan. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Andre in London. Here's Andy.
Andre DeGrasse of Canada is getting back into the kind of form made him one of the best sprinters in the world a couple of seasons ago. Olympic silver medal in the 200 in Rio 2016. Andre, was that tough? I mean, you had pretty major hamstring injuries. You've very successful Olympics in Rio. Psychologically, coming back, did you ever doubt that you would make it back?
No, not at all. I knew it was just a minor setback for me. It was my first injury in my career, so I know, every athlete has to go through it, and I kind of thought of it in that way, where this will just prepare me to be better. So definitely, going through that injury, it prepared me for life more and competing more and just taking care of my body and listening to my body as well. So
did definitely. That give you lessons so that you take care of your body in a different way, having had the hamstring problem?
Yeah, just making sure that whether I'm hydrating, nutrition, sleeping more, all those things matter, I guess, as you get older. As I was younger and I didn't do much of that, so I can see why that, I was lacking certain things or maybe why I could have got injured. So definitely just taking care of my body, it meant a lot more. And now that I'm older, I'm definitely doing that a lot more, and it's paying off in the long run.
You're pretty good over the 100, but you're Olympic silver at 2. Is the 200 your favorite event of the sprints?
I like the 100, but so I've definitely been trying to just work on my start to get better at that so I can be in the race. The 200 is what people probably say is my better event. I'm able to hold my speed for a little bit longer, but so that's why I'm just trying to just work more on the 100, but we'll see. At the world champs, I'm going to double. I'm going to do both and hope to medal in both.
Did you have to work on the technique of running that curve in the 200? Because that usually sets, in a way, the men from the boys and the women from the girls. That some people never make that transition from the 1 to the 2.
Yeah, definitely. I always, I'm always working at it in practice when I'm doing my long runs, running full turns when I'm doing the 150s or 250s. So definitely, you have to work on it every day. You can't just do the starts on the straightaway. You have to do the starts as well on the turn. So that definitely helps.
And just lastly, Canada have a pretty hot 4x1 team. You've been in it. You've won titles. What do you reckon on the prospects for World Championships in Doha? Of course, later in the season than normal. It's the early October for the World Championships. What do you reckon on Canada's hopes for the men's 4x1?
Yeah, I feel like we have a great shot of medaling. We have a great team. Myself, Aaron Brown, are running very well right now. Our first leg is always great, and our third leg runs a great turn. So definitely, moving forward, we just have to, get the stick around and make sure the technique is well, and we leave on time and be patient. And I feel like we'll be there for a medal when it counts.
Andre, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Canadian sprinter André DeGrasse, who won a silver medal and two bronze medals at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. André spoke with Andy in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football news, Florent Ibenge has stepped down after 5 years as the head coach of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The 57-year-old Ibenge did not explain the reasons for his decision, but said, and I quote, "When I began the job, it was never my intention to stay for very long. I have ended up staying 5 years, and that's quite a long time, and we have achieved some good things. Among those achievements, reaching the knockout round at three consecutive Africa Cup of Nations tournaments. In 2015, the Leopards of the DR Congo finished third in Equatorial Guinea. In 2017, the Congolese advanced to the quarterfinals in Gabon. And last month, the Leopards lost in the round of 16 in Egypt." Ibenge also thanked Constant Omari, the president of the country's football association, Congolese football fans, and AS Vita Club, who he continued to coach during his national team tenure. And Ibenge says for the time being, he's still the coach of Vita Club. Well, if you tuned in to Tuesday's show, you heard how English football star Wayne Rooney is returning to his home country after being based here in Washington with Major League Soccer's DC United Club. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Wayne Rooney's contract will allow the star forward to become a player coach for Derby County, a major coup for the second-tier club and a major loss for DC United. On Tuesday, Rooney held a news conference in England with Derby manager Philip Cocu, and Rooney said the opportunity to return home was too good to turn down.
The opportunity to come back in England and play, but also to take up a coaching role with the club and work under Philip was too great for me to turn down. So, I'm delighted to be back here. And I'm looking forward to coming back in January and trying to help the team push forward and hopefully push for promotion.
Rooney's move back to England completes a DC United run that, although short-lived, helped to revitalize the franchise. But Rooney says he will remain with United through this season and the playoffs and is fully focused on delivering the team an MLS Cup.
It's only fair to them that they've been fantastic to me. We're in a good position in the league, and there's 9 games left of the season. I think it'd be disrespectful for them if I didn't finish the season and try and help us get into the playoff spot and try and win a trophy. So, but no, I think that was always the plan, and then obviously to join it in the January.
United will reportedly not receive a transfer fee, and efforts to retain the soccer star through another season were unsuccessful. And according to Rooney, additional opportunities were presented to him as well, but none as attractive as Derby County.
There was other clubs who were making offers and inquiring about me, but I think I made the decision to come here, and then that was it. So I weren't going to go back on my decision. As I said before, the opportunity to work with Philip and his staff and then come here. And I think not only that, Derby is a club with great ambitions. I think you've seen over the last few years they're putting a lot of money into the club. They're trying to take that next step to get into the Premier League. And I felt like it was a place where I could come in and use my experience and try and help them to achieve the goals.
Rooney's 18-month contract with Derby has the option of a 1-year extension and moves him closer to fulfilling his dream of becoming a full-time manager. And current manager Philip Cocu says Rooney has come to the right place as both player and coach.
This is a great signing for the club and for the team. Play with his quality, his experience. It's absolutely a big asset for the club. also the way we work with the long, a lot of youngsters coming up, so to help the team to develop. And I think we can help him in his future role as being a coach, being a manager. So I think it's a perfect moment to join together and then to work together.
In the meantime, Rooney is set to rejoin DC United for training and conditioning ahead of their Sunday match against LA Galaxy. And the 33-year-old says pushing his body to the limit as his playing career winds down is a game of wait and see.
Obviously, I'm a player who knows my body. I know I'm experienced enough now to know that if I feel like I need to, I maybe can't play in one game and I have to sit out that game, then obviously I'll speak with the manager over that. But no, I think I feel good. I've played obviously the whole season in the States, so I feel good.
Rooney's contract with DC United was to have run through the 2021 season, but he's set to leave the club at the end of this MLS campaign. He's set to begin his tenure at Derby County in January 2020. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Well, yesterday on the Sunny Side of Sports, Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel brought us a preview of match week one of the English Premier League. Today, Ryan brings us another preview, this time for match week one of La Liga, the National Football League of Spain. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Premier League gets a lot of attention in the football world, and deservedly so, thanks to its competitiveness from top to bottom. But football fans should also keep an eye on La Liga, which is actually the top-ranked national league in Europe by the Union of European Football Associations, or UEFA. La Liga is annually dominated by its three top dogs, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico Madrid, but several clubs like Sevilla, Valencia, Espanyol, and Getafe are looking to break the stranglehold the top three have on the league. These outsiders will need a strong start to have any shot at cracking the top group, making match week one of La Liga all the more important. La Liga kicks off 1 week later than the Premier League. The Spanish League's first match of the new season will be on Saturday, August 17th, between the stacked squad of Real Madrid and the heavy underdogs Celta de Vigo. Real, the returning third placers in La Liga, is packing stars like Luka Modric, Sergio Ramos, Toni Kroos, and new acquisition Eden Hazard from Chelsea. On the other hand, Celta de Vigo escaped relegation by just 4 points last year. However, Real have had a very rocky preseason, taking losses to Bayern Munich and Tottenham, as well as being crushed 7-3 by Spanish rivals Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid should handle Celta de Vigo with ease, but if they play like they did in their exhibitions, things could get interesting. Barcelona takes on Athletic Bilbao on Saturday, and Barca is also expected to dominate their opponent. Athletic Bilbao finished a solid 8th in La Liga last year, but defending champs Barcelona are likely to be too much for them. Barca will bring world-class players like Ivan Rakitic, Gerard Pique, and Luis Suarez, far more talent than Bilbao could hope to have. But notice how I didn't mention Barcelona's best player, greatest of all-time contender Lionel Messi. Messi is currently nursing a right calf injury and will miss his team's last few preseason fixtures. His status for the match against Athletic Bilbao remains up in the air. Still, Barcelona should handle their opponent either way. The top fixture of match week one in La Liga is its final one, a Sunday showdown between Atletico Madrid and Getafe. Atletico surprised some last season by edging Real Madrid for second place in La Liga, while Getafe also surprised with a fifth place finish to book their spot in the Europa League. Atletico should be on upset alert, as Getafe will be itching to improve further in the table and qualify for next year's Champions League. It will also be interesting to see how Atletico's new acquisition from Tottenham, Kieran Trippier, performs in his possible debut. And a couple of other intriguing La Liga fixtures to look out for in match week one. Espanyol versus Sevilla and Valencia versus Real Sociedad. So, even though there will be some Premier League fixtures going on simultaneously with these La Liga fixtures, the Spanish League is certainly worth a watch. Will Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico Madrid continue their cycle of dominance? Or will another team go on a Leicester City-like run? Time will tell. That's all I have on this league preview. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ryan. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel and VOA intern. Thank you, Ryan. And that wraps up the August 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Zeinab Al-Rahman. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
You are listening to Upfront, the Voice of America.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.